Today on Real Radio.
It's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came and empowered the believers. And it's proof positive. Jesus says, when I go, I have to go away, or else He, the Holy Spirit, cannot come to you. But if I go, He'll come. The day of Pentecost was proof that Jesus Christ arrived in heaven. As He prayed, so the Father sent the Holy Spirit to the church. And the mystery is that He dwells within us. As He says in Ephesians, the great mystery.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give You my praise. My heart is in Your hands, let me feel Your touch. Lord, I live for Your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been in chapter 3 of this letter written by Paul, and he's been speaking of the mystery. Now remember, what we call the Bible is a collection of books almost exclusively written by Jews for Jews in a Jewish culture and context. So the author here, who was as Jewish as one can be, explains that what was a mystery before is now explained. Our teacher begins by citing additional passages in the New Testament that speak of this mystery. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Secret Work of the Lord.
Paul was talking about something in this chapter, and he began on early about what this whole thing about equality in the body and grace in the body and membership in the body of Christ meant to him. And it was personal to Paul. If you look at chapter 3, it was personal to Paul that him being a Jew had come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and now he was walking in the body, but not only in the body, but he was a minister, apostle sent to the Gentiles. And he called it this mystery. And before we even dive into this, why don't you run over a little bit to the right to Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 20-something, 26. Paul was excited in chapter 3 about Christ being in the body of Christ, bringing the Jew and the Gentile together. And he says in verse 26 of Colossians 1, he says, the mystery, that's what we're talking about, this mystery. He says, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. What's the mystery? This is it. Verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus in you is a mystery. Why don't you go over to John 14, 16. Concerning this mystery and concerning Jesus Christ being in you. John 14, verse 16. Jesus says, I will pray to the Father, and I'm glad His prayers are answered. I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper or comforter. The word in the Greek is parakletos, one who comes alongside you, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, that is alongside you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned or comfortless. I will come to you. John 16, verse 7, if you turn a little bit to the right, Jesus says again, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And this is the mystery that we're talking about. It is to your advantage that I go away. Can you imagine Jesus Christ? I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing in our lives? We pray that we'd be closer to Him. We're grieved when we do things that draw us away from Him. Everywhere Jesus goes, people want to be near Him. So where are you tonight? Are you in a living hell tonight? You can't say things like that in church. Oh, come on. A lot of people are going through some tremendous things. And no matter what you're going through, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you cry out, Jesus, where are you? Disciples did it all the time. You know, it wasn't enough to have him in the boat. He was in the boat. It wasn't enough for them. And maybe for you as a believer, you've got the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus Christ is real. You're even in the Word, and you're doing maybe your prayers, and you're going through your things, and sometimes it's so dry. And sometimes having in the boat isn't enough. And the boat is in the storm, and it's all going crazy, and it's just going nuts. And they run up in the boat, and they grab him, and they say, don't you care that we perish? They wake him up. I don't know how you like to be awakened. My alarm clock broke down. So I got this travel clock alarm thing. You know, those things are wicked. They're about this big. Don't let the size deceive you. And when those things go off, you're trying to kill it. It's just so loud. And I like hearing a symphony when I wake up. And ever since that alarm clock of mine broke, I wake up with that thing, and it just kind of sets me off for the rest of the day. And, you know, it's, ow! And I just can't stand that thing. And Jesus is in the boat, he's sleeping, and Master, come on, boys, let's take it from the top. Oh, Master, you know, won't thou wake up? They didn't do that. They grabbed him by the robe and they said, man, don't you care that you're perishing? How'd you like to be waking up like that? It's like my alarm clock. It's like that. And I want to just, I'm reaching for that thing. Jesus gets up and then he just starts slapping the snot out of them all. No, I'm kidding. No, he doesn't. He says, where's your faith? Now that's what I would have done in the boat, being woken up like that. He didn't do that. Sometimes having him in the boat is not enough even. Don't you care that we perish? Yeah, of course he cares. Listen, of course he cares. That's why he was sleeping. He knew that they weren't going to perish. That's why he was sleeping. That's why he was silent. God, where are you in this situation, this thing that I've been praying about? He's silent. He's in it. I don't understand it. I don't either. So don't call and ask. I don't understand it either. But he's in it. He says, I will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. Come on, be honest. Don't you ever feel orphaned? What a crazy thing. We love a God, we've never seen him. We sing him songs. We're looking up, you know. What are we looking up at? We're a weird group of people. In whom have we not seen you love? Says the scripture. It's amazing. He says in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. I can't imagine that. It's better for you. I'm leaving. Bye. Oh, no, you stay right here. For if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Paracletos, the Helper, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That's the Holy Spirit. He's a him, you know. Not an it. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler, Satan, of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's an awesome thing. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, For he will take of what is mine and declare to you, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will make or take, excuse me, of mine and declare it to you. In verse 13, he says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth. There's truth that you have within your heart and in your fiber of your soul that is given from God, that is from above, because you are a Christian. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in you is the mystery that Paul was trying to convey to the Ephesian church that was hitherto totally unknown prior to this. The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came and indwelt the believer. The apostles all along the way had the Holy Spirit alongside them, the 12, speaking to them. I find it significant that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came after the treason of Judas and his departure. It's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came and empowered the believers. And it's proof positive. Jesus says, when I go, I have to go away, or else he, the Holy Spirit, cannot come to you. But if I go, he'll come. The day of Pentecost was proof that Jesus Christ arrived in heaven. As he prayed, so the Father sent the Holy Spirit to the church. And the mystery is that he dwells within us. As he says in Ephesians, the great mystery. You can turn back there now, verse 3, or chapter 3. What a tremendous thing. He says in verse 7, where we touched on last time together, but he says, of which I became a minister concerning the gospel of Christ, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. All the power goes to God. All the working goes to God. It's his work. Look at verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Listen to this. This cracks me up. To me? When Paul says here, to me, in the Greek, it is, we do today, moi? Me? You might say, well, you know, we're this, Jack, this is Paul the Apostle, man. I mean, he's a big kahuna of Christianity. He's got to be joking. He's not joking. We need to look into this guy's heart for a minute. We need to put our thinking cap on. To me, it's an exclamation. To me? I would love to hear this Jew in his Jewish passion say what he's saying right here. We don't have a fathom. We are just, you know, most of us in here are Gentile. There's some Italians in here. Isn't there some Italians? I mean, Italians are Gentiles. But is there an Italian in here? It's funny, as you raise your hand, look around. You're all the guys in counseling. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding, because the Italian thing is, hey, it's, you know, like Jewish people. It's like, you know, you go to downtown LA in a deli, and you go down there, I forget the street, but it's right by Rodeo Drive, and there's a deli, and the hotel's across the way, and they're walking by with the little yarmulke on, and they go into the deli, and there's meat flying, and it looks like they're going to beat each other up. And all they're saying is, I'd like to have one of those, and, you know, can you cut it in half, and thanks. And it looks like they're going to kill each other. The passion that they have. And Paul is saying, to me? It's incredible. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints. Do you think he's lying? This is the awesome thing about Paul's walk with God. He walked so close to God. He walked so close. Jesus was so forefront in his thinking. It was everything. for him to have Christ in front of his eyes. Did he have struggles? Of course he did. That's why he's saying what he's saying. To me, who am the least of the least? The word here, less, it's the less of all the less. It's the least of all the least. The word in the Greek means I'm the smallest of the smallest. Did he mean it? He meant it. And you and I would say today looking at this, I'm less than Paul. And you see, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you can point at somebody and say, well, yeah, he's pretty least. Can't do it. Has nothing to do with him next door. It's you. It's me. Paul says, I'm the least of the least. How could he say such a thing? Because he understood who Jesus Christ was. And are you ready for this? The whole thing implies that Paul could look at his past. Can you believe this? Paul could look at his past and praise God for his present. We can become so weak in our Christianity and know so little of the Bible that when the enemy or the world or a class reunion takes you to the blast from the past, you can't recover. Somebody calls up, hey, this is a voice from the past. And it's like, all the kaleidoscope, all the things go by. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Oh. And you begin to tremble. Listen, Paul looked at his past and said, hey, I know where I came from. And I know that I'm saved in Jesus Christ. He understood his position in grace, that he was so saved, but he could look at his past and not dwell on it and go, oh, man, I used to be a Christian killer. Peter, take over. I can't do this anymore. He said, man, praise God, I used to be a Christian killer. And the stress is, used to be. Used to be a drug addict? How do you handle that? Do you focus on the drug addict or the used to be part? How do you look at this? That's Paul's victory. You think Paul, the greatest apostle of them all, do you think Satan and his little goobers left him alone? Are you kidding? If you could see in the spirit realm, Paul's walking along and there's, you know, Satan's probably got a trailer behind him with all these little things going, you know, ah, get him, you know, and just horns and eyeballs hanging out and stuff. They're coming after him. Attacking Paul. Hey, Paul, what about your past? The Bible tells us, Book of Revelation tells us that day and night. What is your name tonight? Don't yell it out. Or maybe you should. On the count of three, yell out your name. Come on. One, two, three. It almost sounded like Jumanji over here. That was weird. Jumanji. The Bible says day and night Satan stands before God and says how wonderful you are and how great your prayer life's going, and God, just keep blessing him. It says that he is accusing you day and night. And listen, this is, can you handle this? The accusations are true. Excuse me, God. Jack slept in. Now, God, I know that's not that big of a deal, but he did promise you yesterday that he was going to get up at 3 in the morning and spend time with you. And I would like you to take note, he did not. And another thing. And you see, he takes your name and he does that day in, day out. Right? The good thing about this is Satan never has a good day. He really can't. He's not God, you know. He can't remember everything. So he's up there. He's got to be up there sweating bullets. What was it, Jack? Somebody, oh yeah. And, you know, Becky and John. And he's up there. And he's got to be stressed. Can you imagine? You know, all the time. He's scolding. And he's got to be stressed out about it. Christ. Paul saw his past. It was hidden in Christ. He could look back at it and say, I'm the least of them all. To Paul, that was true. I bet you when Peter read this note, you know, Peter read this. Peter commented in his epistles. He says, you know, Paul wrote things that are really hard to understand. Did you know that? Peter wrote that in his epistle. Paul wrote things that are hard to understand. But this is something I bet you Peter understood just fine. He blew it big. I don't even know this guy Jesus. Seems to me you were hanging out with him. Not me, somebody who looked like me. Can you imagine? And then Peter reads about the grace that Paul's talking about. And when he talks about here, to me who am the least among the saints, I bet Peter said, hey, scoot over, Paul. It's me, man. I'm the one that denied him. But what about us? You see, the whole thing is supposed to be personal. Is Jesus forefront in your heart? If Jesus is forefront in your heart, you are going to be constantly aware of your shortcomings, of your failures, of your inabilities, and of your constant sin. If we're not sinning by doing something, we're sinning by not doing what we should be doing. So we're always sinning. Do we want to? No. We hate it. Don't want to. But the awesome thing is, we see how we are, and it causes, listen people, true worship to be put forth. You can worship God when you know that you have been forgiven of your sins, and He loves you unconditionally. And how is it? How is it, I don't understand this, how is it that we know a God who is so gentle and so compassionate and kind and so long-suffering that where you are at now, in whatever thing you're in, His judgment that is certainly due upon us doesn't come, not because He's slack, but because He's gentle.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 in verses 7 and 8, it's actually a study called The Secret Work of the Lord, part of a fascinating series through this Pauline letter, that puts into perspective the privilege Gentile believers now have, having been grafted into the vine of Jewish believers. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder about Election Day, November the 4th. It's fast approaching, and in California, we have Proposition 8 on the ballot, a serious attack on marriage. Now, even if you're not from California, don't be fooled by the rhetoric. The civil rights of churches, pastors, and all God-fearing people are at stake. Again, even if you don't live in California, it's important for anyone who supports the idea of marriage being defined as between one man and one woman to be informed on this issue. And so on our website, we've set up a special educational section about the facts of so-called homosexual marriage. Even if you live in different parts of the country, eventually this issue will make it to your state. In the meantime, you can share this website with your friends and family. Visit realradioactive.org. to view Pastor Jack's video answers to questions that keep coming in about marriage, homosexuality, civil rights, and so forth. Again, that's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.